Well, welcome to New Beginnings. We're kicking off some more of this series. Next week's Resurrection Sunday, we're going to take a break from the series next week. Special meshes, special time, special outreach next week. You bring people with you. This week, we're going to continue where we were. I'm picking up exactly at the same scripture I stopped at. And this is in Ephesians 1. And this is about discovering who you are in Christ. It's important for you to know who you are. Years ago, I preached a message. I don't know if anybody remembers it. I do. But it had to do with the eagles, a couple little eagles that fell into a group of turkeys. Does anybody remember that message? Praise God. You get free tapes all day. I'm free CDs all day. But, you know, it was a couple little eaglets, the way this story went, that as little fellows, they fell into a group of turkeys. And the turkey said, "You can come hang with us. You don't have anyone to hang with. You can come hang with us." And the turkeys kept telling the eagles how to be turkeys. And the little eaglets didn't know any better. And so they would follow around the turkeys all day, and they'd try to eat acorns, and they didn't really like acorns. But everybody else was eating acorns, and the turkeys were saying, "Eat the acorns," and so they eat the acorns. And but in their heart, they had this desire to soar. Okay? But every time they would bring it up, "There's this desire in me to soar." And the turkeys would tell them, no, that's not what turkeys do. You stay on the ground with us, and we all together, and you just stay with us, and don't be like that. Don't talk like that. You just be a good turkey. And the way you be a good turkey is to say gobble, gobble, and they'd try to say gobble, gobble, and they'd try to eat acorns, and they'd try to do what the turkeys do. And they were making a poor expression of it. But one day, and I can't preach that sermon, I got to get onto this, but one day something happened. I'm just going to call it a wise owl told them, "Why are you walking around like turkeys? God made you an eagle. You aren't designed to walk with the turkeys, hang out with the turkeys. You're designed to soar with the eagles. You're an eagle and you need to soar." And the next thing you know, they were stretching their wings and fulfilling their purpose because God made them eagles. And I'm here to tell you that when you accept Christ, there is a supernatural change that takes place on the inside of you. If you see this illustration, it's in the spirit. And you're made brand new. And Christ actually comes to live in you. I know that may not make sense to you, but we've preached a whole series to explain it. But Christ comes in and he changes you. The Bible says you become a brand new creation. Okay? And so I want to tell you, you're an eagle. You're designed to soar with the eagles. That's what Jesus' life and abundant life is all about. And I want to tell you, part of discovering who you are is to help you realize that we don't have to live the same old life that we used to live because we've been changed from the inside out. And how that we receive abundant life out of our spirit into our soul and even to our body is by focusing and renewing our minds with the Word of God. We focus and see Jesus in the Word. And when you focus and see Jesus in the Word, he shows you who you are. That you're an eagle and not a turkey. And so I want to tell you, God's designed you to soar. And you can. Because you've been born again. And there's so much to his abundant life that he has for you. And that's why Christians are so excited about the born again experience, about the Jesus life in us. Does it mean that anyone here has arrived? No. Now, in our spirit, we're completely and totally saved. Our soul is in the process. Okay, but I want to tell you, when a Christian dies, the real person goes to heaven. It's completely covered by the blood of Jesus. And we're renewing our mind so that our body can experience the abundant life of Jesus Christ in this soul, our mind, will, and emotions, and more, and also to our body. Because that's the abundant life that Jesus paid for. He paid for eternal life and abundant life. Same price. Isn't that exciting? So this is part what we're all about in this series is discovering that we're eagles and not turkeys. And to show you that you really can soar no matter what people say or sometimes what religion says, or sometimes what the enemy says or people say, you can soar in your new creation in Christ. And so in Ephesians 1, now verse 17, I'm not going to cover, I'm just going to tell you, but it's a prayer actually that Paul prays. And this prayer goes like this, that he wants your eyes to be opened for you to get to know Jesus, for you get to see him as he is, and for you to get to know him. Now I want to tell you, next week being Resurrection Sunday, if people were to know the real Christ, they would come running to be here. Because I want to tell you, he is beyond description. His love for us, his forgiveness, and all the life that he has for us, the touch, his love touch, and the way he cares for us and loves on us and helps us along the journey. He loves to make himself known. And this is Paul's prayer, that we would see him as he is and that we would know him. And in verse 18, he's describing in this prayer how this is going to happen, how this can happen. He wants this to happen in you so you can see him and so you can know him. And it goes like this. Verse 18 says this, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. The Bible's clear and says that God is light. And I want to tell you, our house and our neighborhood is lit up like Fort Knox. Okay, there's a few neighbors make a little fun of us. Well, what we've also noticed over the last couple of years, more and more neighbors are making their house like Fort Knox, because houses have been hit by bad boys on either side of us and in other parts of the neighborhood. And you know what I want to tell you? When your house is lit up like Fort Knox, I want to tell you something. It's some of the best protection that you can have. When your soul is lit up with light, okay, it's some of the best protection that you can have. Because when your eyes are filled and flooded with light, okay, you're not seeing the other stuff. You're seeing Jesus. And this is what the word is talking about, is that your eyes of your heart be flooded with Jesus. Be flooded with light. I won this little girl to the Lord, a little teenage girl, a number of years ago, another part of the Metroplex. And I won her to the Lord, and her parents were so excited about her receiving Christ. They saw such a change that they surrendered their hearts to the Lord. And so it was a beautiful thing that God did in this family, very exciting. And they were so on fire for the Lord, so excited about the Lord. And her dad, it was a Dallas police officer. And he got so excited about the Lord that he began to minister Jesus on the job. Okay, some do, some don't, but he did. He began to just talk about Jesus. And he was in a situation one night where he almost shot a guy, and didn't want to, but he almost shot a guy because the guy wasn't in compliance, wasn't cooperating, and he almost shot him. And so he was kind of wound up, you know, I mean, adrenaline gets going and everything, and boy, he got him down on the ground, and he told him, he said, let me tell you something, son. He said, you best get your heart right with God, because you like to went to hell tonight. You need Jesus so you go to heaven when you die. And the guy popped off back to him and said, well, you don't know anything about God. And he said, he did this. He grabbed a radio, and he said, God said, let there be light. And when he did, the helicopter was overhead, and that helicopter light came on. And I want to tell you, it's a bright light. Can I tell you that he was flooded with light? And I want to tell you, this officer told me, he said, right then and there, the guy said, oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. He began to repent right there. And so it was a great story, he couldn't wait to tell me about that event taking place. But this is what he's praying. Hey, is it getting dark around you? Is it getting cloudy around you? I want to tell you something that all of us can do. We can have our eyes of our heart flooded with light. And sometimes all it means is turning to the Lord and crying out to him, getting in his word and being still before the Lord, and letting the Lord love on you, letting the Lord talk to you, letting the Lord minister to you. See, it's not a formula. Humans want formulas. God wants a relationship. He wants you to need him. Don't just go to step 1, 2, and 3 and so I can get this over with, get on with my life. No, 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 no. He wants you to relate to him. And he wants you to come to him and be with him. And he wants to minister to you personally. I want to tell you, when your eyes are flooded with light, you don't see anything else. Okay? Hey. No problems when you see in him. Your problems get dim when you're flooded with him. Okay? Because when you see him, you also see all that he has for you. You see who you are in him. And you know what that does? That gives you hope. So let's get our eyes of our heart flooded with light so that you can know. This is a personal knowing. This is not just knowledge running between the two ears. This is a personal knowing that you really know it and you know her. And that you understand the hope. I want to tell you, we need hope. Jesus brings hope. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what a mess it's been. I don't care what the past track has looked like. I want to tell you, Jesus brings hope. He's got eternal life and abundant life for us. And he understands the hope to which he's called you. I want to tell you, there's a lot of potential of who you are. You're an eagle and not a turkey. Okay? Don't hang with the turkeys. You don't have to live like a turkey. God's called you to soar. Potential of who you are. This is what he's called you to. And how rich, so that you'll see. When you see him, you see his hope for you. You see what he's called you. You can know and understand that hope, the potential of who you are. Anybody want that? And you can also see by your heart flooded with Jesus, with light, how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, in you. Now I want to tell you, when your eyes are flooded with the light, you see the richness of who he is. I want to tell you, we need to do that on a regular basis. The Bible says to renew our mind, continually meditate on him and his word, because I want to tell you, human tendency is to forget. You can walk with the Lord today, have an amazing peace, joy-filled journey today, love touch with the Lord today, and tomorrow, you know as well as I do, you can act like you never even known. You can feel distance. Well, hey, it's bigger. He's bigger than feeling. Okay? Because he's inside of us. And so the very spirit of the living Christ dwells in us. So now, no matter what feeling says, we can go back and we can walk with the Lord by faith, not by feeling. But I want to tell you, we're rich in him. Whether you feel like it or not, you're rich in him. And so I want to tell you that that's very, very sad. When you are focused on how rich you are, what you don't have is not a big deal. Did you get that? Do I need to say it again? When you're focused on how rich you are in him, what you don't have is no big deal because it's temporary. Okay? I want to tell you, there's a whole segment of humanity and even Christianity that is so focused on what they don't have, okay, that they have the same type of mindset and problems and thought patterns of people that don't know them. Okay, verse 19. Eyes flooded, heart flooded with light so that we can know him and so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power, where? In us. It's inside of us. This is what we've been teaching you, that when you receive Christ, the very power of God dwells inside of you in your spirit. Okay? And who's it for? Believers, you got it. It's for us. It's for you. Let's make it personal. It's for you. It's easy to point to someone else and say, well, it's for them. It's obvious it's for them. But what about me? God's no respecter of persons. Amen. Hey, he died on the cross for you. He rose again from the dead for you. Okay? And so it's all for you. For everyone that believes. Now, if you don't believe it, it's not going to work for you. Okay? Because this is part of what it's about. I'm telling you, if you know Christ, he's in your spirit. But I want to tell you, in your soul, where your mind is the way you turn the valve on. Who are you going to vote on? Are you going to vote on the carnal part of you or on the spiritual part of you. Who you vote on is who wins. And so I'm telling you, the very love of Jesus can flow through your soul and out through your body and like a gusher to love on the world. Or I'm telling you, in your mind, you can cut it off. There's an important choice here. We have a chooser. God gave us a chooser. But we can cooperate and submit and yield to the Lord and renew our minds so that the love and the joy and the peace, even when we don't feel like it, flows. And I want to tell you, that's what God's designed us for. Are we going to be of spiritual mind or a carnal mind? But here he is. It's for us. This is for us, in us and for us. And he demonstrated it. Okay, now our part is to say yes to it. There's unlimited power here. Okay, I wish that I could show you that God's designed you to grow in this. Okay, now look, I got a little video on my phone that I don't have permission to show you, but it would be so cute, and I think it is appropriate, but Mama said no. But I don't know the technology to do it. Patrick probably does, but I don't know how to make it happen. But I got a little video of Pebbles, 19 months old, on my phone, and she's just gotten through with her bath time. Bath time's fun time. So she's in her birthday suit. So, you know, Mama didn't give permission. But I'm telling you, honey, would you demonstrate what she was doing? I wish you would, because I know where she get that cuteness from. But she is stomping back and forth in ankle-deep water. She's stomping back and forth, and she's just singing, and she's just celebrating, and she's splashing, and she's having a big time. And she's doing her little stomping dance, and she's just walking back and forth having a blast. It's the cutest thing. But I want to tell you something. If teen meeting coming up, I don't have a heater in my pool, but in May it'll be warm enough, I think. If we come up on Wednesday night and the teens are going to get in the pool, and I said, Karina, in her swimsuit, I'd say, Karina, tonight, instead of getting in the pool, diving board, 8 or 9 foot of water, and the diving contest that we do, instead of getting in the pool, we're going to get in a bathtub with ankle-deep water. Let you have a lot of fun. Now, come on, it'll be a blast. She'd say, no, I don't think so. I don't want ankle-deep water in the bathtub. I want the swimming pool. I want to dive. I want to go deep. Because that's what growth does. That's what maturity does. Right now, ankle-deep water stomping around in the bathtub's fine for Pebbles, 19 months old. But when she gets Karina's age, uh-uh. Papa T, I want to go to the pool. Now look, that's what God's designed us for. It's wrong. It's just not right for people to know Jesus for years and years and years and years and not practice renewing our mind, but stay a spiritual baby splashing a while around in ankle-deep love, ankle-deep peace, ankle-deep power. When the Lord has designed us to grow, he wants to grow us. This is a prayer in Scripture for us, that it's in us and for us to believe. And he has demonstrated it by the working of his mighty strength. You say, well, how did he do that? Verse 20 tells us. Because God exerted it in Christ. He displayed his power in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That is resurrection power dwelling in us. And so don't cry to God and cry out to people saying, well, I have a problem and I just can't get over it. No, no, no. Okay? Let God be true and every man a liar, because the very power of God dwells in us. Now, is God through with Tim Hall? No. You know me well. God's not through with me. My wife would say God's not through with me. Okay? But let me just say something. God's not through with you either. But are we cooperating? Are we complying? Are we allowing his light to flood the eyes of our heart? Are we renewing our mind to the Word of God? Because the Bible says that's how we're transformed. Get it? That's how we're transformed into his glory, to become more and more like him. And so, look, He exerted it in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places. In other words, that is the place of victory. That's the place of conquering. And Jesus said, it's not just for me. I did it for you because you're in me and I'm in you. It's for us. Now, I can let my mind be controlled by the physical realm more than the spiritual realm. That's a la naturale. I can do that. But I want to tell you, hey, you understand that it's possible for me to operate in the carnal realm and not the spiritual realm while all the resurrection power of Jesus himself is right here in my spirit, and it won't ever manifest here or go out to hear the kingdom of God to spread, to touch other people's lives. If I choose to stay carnally minded, it won't happen. I've already shared with you in another sermon that carnally minded is death. That's what the Bible says. It's death. It's not life to you. Spiritual mindedness is life. Now let's look at verse 19. Because it can go... Let me just share with you. Look at verse 19. This is Ephesians 4. Now, Ephesians 4:17 has said, we don't have to live like unbelievers. We don't have to just operate out of the carnal mind. We have one, but we don't have to operate that way. Verse 18 says this, because we know Christ, we can operate out of the spiritual mind. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. Now, verse 18 talks about that if we choose to operate out of the carnal mind, that there's a darkness that comes upon us. It gets cloudy. You remember me talking about getting cloudy? And there's actually a word that's described as self-banished from the life of God. In other words, we choose not the life of God, but we choose to operate in death. And so, and the way Bible describes it in verse 18 is that there begins to become a hardness of our heart. Let me explain it all to you real quick. Your heart, depending on whether or not you're walking with the Lord and renewing your mind, your heart's either becoming more tender toward the Lord or more hard-hearted toward the Lord. Tender or tough? Hey, the way for God to operate in your life is tender-hearted. Tender toward God. Humble, submitted, responding to the Lord, loving him back. When your mind gets off in the carnal realm, your heart becomes hardened. There's a warning here. You see it's a warning? Look at verse 19. Not only does the heart get harder, but it describes, verse 19 describes it as a spiritual apathy. Okay? You don't want this. Comes to the place in spiritual apathy where it's like, well, I don't know. This didn't work for me, and that's not a part of me. That's not the real me. And we believe the lie. But it becomes, the carnal-mindedness becomes spiritual apathy. In other words, what I'm saying to you, don't stay the same. You're either becoming more tender toward the Lord, sensitive to him, or you're becoming hard-hearted toward the Lord, insensitive to him. And look at the description of it. They have become callous and past feeling. In other words, there was a time in their life where they would respond. Their conscience would help them respond when something went wrong. But by saying no to God over and over again and resisting and renouncing their conscience and ignoring their conscience over and over again, look what happens. They become past feeling and reckless and have abandoned themselves like prey. Have abandoned themselves to unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity, okay, for their depraved desires may suggest and demand. Now I want to tell you, this is describing, and the Bible word for this is lasciviousness. And lasciviousness is being controlled by what you feel. Now, when you come hard-hearted to the place, and this can happen to anybody and everybody, that's why this is here, this is a warning. Okay, to live out of the spiritual mind and not the carnal man. You don't, remember he said, you don't have to live like people that don't believe God. You don't have to live like that anymore. We have a life source in us that we can tune into. But I'm here to tell you that this hardness of the heart comes to the place, all right, where that you don't respond to the Lord. You say no to God. Unbridled sensuality, eager and greedy to indulge in every form of impurity. And in other words, when lasciviousness means that feelings control you. Let me say it to you this, like this. You're out of control. Okay? Now, I've been ministering to people. I minister to humans. Humans are a mess. I understand. I got compassion. I am too. But I want to tell you something. Hey, I've known people, could name names and tell you stories about people that have absolutely said no to God, no to their conscience, no to God so much that they become like this. Unbridled sensuality. Think about a horse without a bridle. And you're in the saddle. Who's in charge? And so I'm here to tell you they're not in charge anymore. They're out of control because they're not in control. And it's a very dangerous situation. Let me say it to you like this. No brakes. At one time they had brakes. At one time people would tell me, well, I know I'm having a little trouble here and here and here, but I would never do that. Well, a year later they are. They're doing the very thing they said they would never do. How does that happen? Just like this. Okay, which way is your life? Hey, the fruit of your life is saying something. What's the fruit of your life? Are you more aware of peace, joy, and love of Jesus? And the growing is your hunger and thirst for the Lord there and your love life with the Lord? Are you more aware of deadness in your heart? Are you more aware of disturbance, worry, fear, sadness, depression, anger? You see what I'm saying? What's the fruit? Okay, where's the fruit? Nobody here is judging anybody, but we are told in Scripture to examine the fruit of someone's life. It's good for you to know, where's your fruit? Okay, now look, God gave us feelings for a reason. They're supposed to be a benefit or a protection to us and to bring them glory. Now, even in Jesus' circles, even with feelings lined up about the right things and about the right matters, because it's great to be emotional about love and emotional about the Lord, it's all good. But even that can be out of control. Because I want to tell you, when your expression becomes more important to you than the worship of who He is, when He's not as important as your expression, then something's wrong. Something's out of balance somewhere. So it can even happen. See, feelings really can't be trusted too much. You understand? I'm trying to show you this. Now look, feelings are they have a sensory input purpose. I mean, they're there for a reason. I think I shared with you that last year I was out and had the smoker, and I'm doing my studying outside, and I had the smoker cranked way up, as high as it would go. And so it had gotten pretty hot, and I'm meditating on the Lord and having a good time. And I just inadvertently walked over and just put my hand down off that smoker. Okay, a sensation came. Rush to my brain. Hot. Move hand. Whole lot faster than I'm saying it. Okay, the burn. Now I want to tell you, that feeling was for my protection. It was for my help. Because if I'd have left it there very long, it would have been well done. I would have had a crispy critter here. Okay, now look. That's good, and it needs to be good. But I want to tell you, it could also become fear. If I was walking around this morning with oven mitts on my hands, because I don't want to ever be burned again. Are you listening? See, feeling's in charge, or feeling's in control, or I fear of being wounded ever again, and I'm walking around with oven mitts just in case a smoker would come rolling by. Well, that's not life. Then I'm bound. You see, I'm not free. I'm bound. You understand? Okay. And so we're not to be dominated by them. Okay. We're not denying that our five senses exist. They do. They're real. God gave them for a good purpose. But when we enter into lasciviousness, where they're in charge and we're not, it means feelings are running our lives, and feelings should be the caboose, not the engine. They were designed to follow what you think, not lead the way. When the caboose leads, you've heard me say it, you're headed for a train wreck. Or at the very least, you're going backwards. Who wants to go backwards? But His love is something that's to be continual. His love is supposed to be the driving force. His Word is supposed to be our direction, our life to us, from spirit to soul to body. And so my walk with the Lord, my relationship with the Lord, is to be constant, not just on Sundays and all the saints said. Amen. He's always loving on you. You may not always be receiving it, but He's always loving on you. He wants you to always. Look, He's always pleased with you. You say, oh, I'm a mess. Yeah, I am too. But in our spirit, we're completely covered. It's sealed, according to what the Bible says. We're sealed by the Holy Spirit. And it's just a one-way valve. The bad stuff don't go in there. The good life can come out, but the bad stuff can't go in. And He's designed for the good stuff to come out to affect our soul and our body. That's what Christian living is. And so I'm created in righteousness in my spirit, true holiness in my spirit, sealed by the Holy Spirit in my spirit. Sin doesn't penetrate my spirit. You see, that's why it makes sense now what scriptures say, that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm complete in Jesus. I'm completely loved by Jesus. The Spirit of the living God dwells in me. The fullness of God dwells in me. Where? Where? Because I don't see it here. I don't feel it here. It's in my spirit. It's real. There's a greater reality than the five senses. God's pleased with me because of who I am in the Spirit. I'm forgiven completely. See, that's how we can say that. In my spirit. I fellowship with Him. The Bible says we fellowship with Him in spirit and in truth. And so there is a real part of me, the T. Hall part of me, the carnal self part of me, that I'm still not pleased with. But God's not finished with me. There's a real me that's in my spirit. It's a new me. And you know what? That's where we're to operate out of. I place my confidence in Christ, not in myself. I sure don't place confidence in my performance. I still get aggravated at myself, disappointed in myself. But I can, and you can, walk by the Spirit and not the flesh. Okay? And as we grow and mature, we're learning to do that. Right? We better be. But that means that I can experience God's love and peace and joy and His life. And He's available 24/7. Okay? When I blow it, and I do blow it, just like you do, we got to turn from it. It's called repentance. And we're to be quick to repent. I've told you, don't waste the hour, don't waste the day, don't waste the week. I told you about one revival that I did every year for a number of years, and a summer revival. It was a community, and they'd all come together. A couple churches, two or three churches would. And I got there one summer, and this guy came up, and he said, I'm so glad you're here. I've been waiting on you for months. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I've been deemed to get right with God for months. I'm glad you're here this revival time so I can get right with God. I said, man, you done wasted months. The blood of Jesus never loses its power. Inside, I want to tell you, you're completely forgiven. And I want to tell you something. He does not have to die on the cross every time you sin. You're forgiven. We need to receive that forgiveness. We need to appropriate that forgiveness. But I'm telling you, we confess it, we repent, we confess it, get it out there before the Lord, and we accept who we are in Christ. My confidence is in God's work of redemption, not in me. So don't waste the next moment, don't waste the next hour, or the next week, or like that guy, a few months of your life. Then you step right back in to the love life of the Lord and walk on with the Lord. We walk with Jesus, not with sin, everybody said. Amen. So that's why. That there's more of Jesus that I want to see appropriated and manifested in my life. There's more of Jesus I want to see appropriated and manifested in your life, in our church, in our community, in our families. And you know what? That's why that we must, as a way of life, continue to actively and aggressively renew our mind with the Word of God. See Jesus. Renew our mind to His Word. Now look, when you're convinced of your forgiveness and your eternal redemption, there's always a reason to give thanks to God. even when you blow it. It's even more so when you blow it. Okay? There ought to be a continual praise and thanksgiving. I want to tell you, this ought to be the temperature of a believer, is your praise and thanksgiving. Everyone here, I don't care what's happened on the outside, everyone here has reason to give thanks and to give praise to God. And you know what? What he's done for me, it ought to motivate us to love. To love him back. It ought to motivate us to live for him. Right? When we remember it. But his fruit of the Spirit is to flow in us and through us. This is how the kingdom spread. It's not to be stored up in our spirit. Okay? Love life is designed to flow like a river. Okay? Hey, from our spirit, through our soul and our body and out to others. That's the way it's designed. Okay? If you're not receiving the flow of God's love in your life, it's like you cut off the valve. And when you do that, it becomes a pond. Okay? Not a river, but a pond. I want to tell you, when I go fishing, one of the first things I look for is there water coming in and water going out of a lake, a pond. Because I want to tell you something. They're attracted to movement. Because there's a flow. Hey, their food comes along that way. And the mighty bass, one of the greatest fish God ever created, he hangs out there. Because he's like the freshwater shark, and he attacks stuff that comes by. And so he's going to ambush. But I want to tell you something. It's not just bass that are attracted to movement. People are. When there's a flow of life coming out of you, people are attracted to life. They're attracted to the flow of love. And you know what? They'll be drawn, and they'll come. All right? And that's when you minister the Lord to them. Okay? Not having to convince them. If everything's in and nothing going out, then I want to tell you, you're like the Dead Sea. Everything's in, nothing coming out. Like the Dead Sea. Now I want to tell you, there's times people get in a mess. We get in a mess. And we haven't been walking with the Lord. And sometimes people just cry out to the Lord. Lord, I just need a fresh shower of your love and grace. And I want to tell you, he loves us so much, he'll do that. All right, but that's not walking in life. That's using the Lord as a rescue system. He'll do that for you, but that's not his best for you. Okay, Ephesians 2:10, we're his workmanship. For we are God's own handiwork. His workmanship, created it, recreated. There we are, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew. That's what we're talking about on the inside. We're born again. On the inside. That's what happens when you receive Christ. That we may do those good works that which God predestined, he planned beforehand for us. And that we'll taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Now I want to tell you, Proverbs is full of this. We're covering Proverbs with the teens. Proverbs is full of it, that the Lord orders our steps. When your heart is after him, he orders your steps. He can do it even when you're not really aware that he's doing it, but he does it and he proves himself to you over and over again. He orders your steps. And this is what he's doing, his work in us to be outside of us. You see, it's for good works for others. It's always for others. He blesses you to bless others, that we should walk in them, in the good life, the blessed life. Somebody say, I want the blessed life. Well, he's prearranged it and made ready for us to live it. This is the wisdom path. Our steps are ordered. When you're walking with the Lord, let me tell you one way the path works. When you're walking with the Lord, he draws people to you to bless you, to love you, minister peace to you, to be a part of the kingdom life with you. When you're walking away from the Lord, darkness draws people into your life that will steal, kill, and destroy you. That's one of the ways that this works. But I'm telling you, he's got pre-planned good paths for you. And when your heart surrendered to him, he walks you in them. You're responding to him. God loves me. In my spirit, I'm in Jesus, and Jesus in me. He loves me. And I'm never separated from his love. This is what happens when you come to Christ, is that this is done forever and for good. He loves you. And the Bible says nothing can ever separate you from his love. Let's look at this together. Romans 8:35. Who shall ever separate us from Christ's love? Shall suffering, affliction, tribulation, and I want to tell you, that comes. It comes in this journey. We're not saying that receiving Christ makes this a Disney world for you. It's still a real world of battle. It's still a real world of conflict. But we have victory from the inside that comes out. That's a big difference. What about calamity? What about distress? What about persecution or hunger or destitution or peril or sword? Hey, man, I love this. Listen to this. Matter of fact, I'm just going to say this. You can write this down. Genesis 15:1, God told Abraham, I'm your shield and I'm your great reward. That's a great thing. Now I want to tell you, in Jesus we have that. He's our shield. He's our protector. He's our reward. Okay? 38:39, for I am persuaded. Now to be persuaded means that you're personally convinced beyond doubt. Hey, look, if you're not there, it's very important that you practice seeing Jesus in the Word and you renew your mind so that you become personally convinced. Because if you're not personally convinced of His love for you and that He loves you no matter what, then it's real easy for the enemy to get you off track. Okay? He's got better life, blessed life for you. But here's part of it, is knowing that you're personally convinced that neither death nor life nor angels, principalities, nor things impending or threatening nor things to come or powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you get it? Okay, well, get convinced of it. And the way you get personally convinced is by renewing your heart, renewing your mind in the Word of God till you become convinced, personally persuaded. This is not something that one of the pastors can do for you. This is between you and the Master. But He will cause this to happen. If you'll seek Him for it, He'll walk you in this. Your life will change when you become personally convinced of His love for you. And let me just say it. Let me use a couple Texas terms here to explain this verse. Not even your foolish self can separate you from the love of God. You need another one? Not even your stupid actions. Sometimes we do stuff that's just stupid. Yeah. Why did I do that for? Well, not even your stupid actions can separate you from the love of God. Is that beautiful? Because in my spirit, right here, Bible says He's already given me the full measure of His love and He won't take it back. Jesus paid for it. Well, none of us deserve it. This is part of the beauty of His love. It's great news. John 1:16. Now I want to tell you, put a star by it, because if you meditate on this scripture for a week, I want to tell you, it'll be more than great breakfast. It'll be a buffet for you. John 1:16. I double dog dare you to meditate on this week, every day. For out of His fullness, abundance, we have all received. Where's that at? In our spirit. We've all had a share, the measure. We are all supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Wow, is that great? That's describing all that's in you. Now, it just... not anywhere near right for all that to be in us and for us not to walk in it. Don't be a pond. Let's be a river. God's got more for you than what you're walking in. God's got more for our church than what we're walking in. Let's go for it. He paid for it. He deserves what He paid for. Let's go for it. According to the Bible, hey, three parts of us, one-third of us is full of Jesus, one-third full of Jesus. And He wants to show us how to receive into our soul and our body. You know what this creates? Loved living. Loved living. Bible calls it a number of different terms. Abundant living, resurrection living, vine life, abundant life, spirit-filled life, fruitful living. There's a number of different terms, but it's the same life. Okay? I've been amazed over the years how that there seems to be some people, and I'm just going to say it like this. I don't mean no harm. I'm just trying to describe to you. And they don't really have their stuff together. Really don't. They're not consistent in their walk with the Lord. They don't persist in their spiritual exercises to position their heart. They don't seek the Lord at all times. But I want to tell you, there are times that they just wholeheartedly surrender to the Lord, and they receive and walk in His love. And it's just absolutely beautiful. And then you'll have another group over here that's real studious, that's very disciplined. And, you know, they do all the stuff that you would think would just make it so good. They're so organized in their living and their discipline. They got rules, but they're not receiving. And I want to tell you what it boils down to. There's a lack of love there. I want to tell you, the main thing with the Lord is not your rules, it's your love life. And I want to tell you, you know, even if you're a mess like the rest of us, but if you'll surrender wholeheartedly to Him, all you got to do is seek Him, and He says, you'll find me. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you will find. Because He wants to pour out His love life on you. And in His love life, you can develop disciplines in the Lord that's going to help you walk in the more. But I want to tell you, if you have all the disciplines and all the rules, and you practice this and that and this, and you cross your T's and dot your I's exactly right, but there's not love life there, you'll miss. And so I'm trying to share with you, no, it's not how goody-goody you are. No, it's not about your list of do's and don'ts. It's about your love life with the Lord. Man, I wish I could make that so clear. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. How am I doing on time? Oh, yeah, I'm good. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. I don't think this is in your notes, so you have to write these down, the headings of them down. Look at this. There's a theme here that I want to just show you and encourage you with. Hebrews 6, 11, 12. But we do strongly and earnestly desire for each of you to show the same diligence. You see the word diligence? And sincerity. All the way through in realizing and enjoying the full assurance and development of your hope until the end. Verse 12 says this. In order that you may not grow disinterested. This is what happens to some people. I wrote a little track one time. It talked about the boredom factor. The boredom cycle. And this is part of the reason why we got to continue to grow in the Lord. And let the Lord be our hope and our goal. Or I want to tell you, there's a tendency for humans to get bored. Man. And become spiritual sluggards. But imitators, behaving as do those who through the faith by their leaning of the entire personality of God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. And by practice of patient endurance. Do you see that? I want to tell you something. That makes a difference. I can't tell you how many people start out on the love life, start out on the journey, and they quit. They holler calf rope. And I want to tell you, they do it sometimes because there's more resistance. There's more attack in their life. It's not easy. But I'm here to tell you something. That when the battle gets fierce, it's close to the end. When the battle gets hard, it means you're closer to victory than you've ever been. When it looks like you're stepping back instead of going forward, it doesn't mean that you've missed it. It means you're in a battle. Now, I want to tell you something. I'd love to use football right now because it's such an example of how that sometimes in order, the process of going forward, you lose ground sometimes. But I want to tell you something. When you lose ground, you don't quit. The team doesn't walk off the field. Throw down their helmet and say, well, we lost some yardage. No. Because I want to tell you something. You got a little saying in ball, and it goes like this. Don't let the last play hinder the next. Don't let the fact that you lost a few yards in your journey keep you from experiencing the victory that's coming. Eyes flooded with light, hope comes. That's where we are. And so look at this. Did I finish verse 12? In his power and goodness, and by the practice of patient endurance. Sometimes that's where the key is. If you don't quit, you win. And waiting or now inheriting his promises. I want to tell you, you use people as examples to help you along the journey. They're in Scripture and they're around us. But I want to tell you, there are people going through stuff that's worse than you, harder than you, and they're keeping on keeping on, and they may not have the victory now, but the victory's coming. Okay, let's look at another one. Can I share with you another one? Exodus 23. Let's look at this, Exodus 23, 25 and 26. You shall serve the Lord your God. Now, I want to tell you, I'm going to use that word serve and say to you to love the Lord and serve the Lord, follow the Lord. He shall bless your bread and water. And look what he says. And I will take sickness from your midst. Now, I love the Young's literal translation. You're familiar with that one. He's familiar with all the versions. So I know I can point to Pastor James about this. Young's literal translation, I love that. But in Young's, it says something like this. It says, I will take away the sickness from your heart. Because I want to tell you, that's where it starts. When people quit, they don't quit on the outside first. They quit on the inside. Okay? They have hope deferred. Okay? I want to tell you something. You look at Jesus, he will raise up your hopes, and you put your hope in him and not in the progress or the degress or whatever's happening, but you put your hope in him. Look at verse 26. None shall lose her young by miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. That speaks to life. That speaks to health. And I want to tell you, it's just speaking of the blessing of God. And so this is what the enemy wants to do. It's why I'm showing you this scripture. He wants to keep you, discourage you from loving the Lord and serving the Lord, following the Lord. That's what he's about. If he can get you to stop loving the Lord, serving the Lord, following the Lord, then you're going to miss on the blessing because you're going to walk away from it. Okay, does that speak to anybody? I want to tell you, I'm just trying to show you what the enemy wants to do. And so again, let's go back to perseverance. Let's go back to patient endurance. Let's not quit. Let's continue to put our hope in the Lord and follow after the Lord, and we will see the benefits. Okay? Because he brings us into promised land, and all the people said. Amen. Okay, one more. Well, let's look at verse 30. Little by little, this is God speaking, I will drive the enemy out, talking about the promised land, I will drive the enemy out little by little before you. Not all at once. See, this is what Christians want. We want Disneyland. We want heaven now. No battle. No. Heaven soon. But this is planet Earth, and it's a battlefield, and so there's battle now. This is how we learn to apply and walk in the victory of the Lord. And he's not going to wipe it all out where there's no conflict. That's what Christians want. No conflict. Easy, pleasy street. Okay? No, he wants you to learn who you are in Christ, and how to operate in who you are in Christ, and all that resurrection power and love and joy and peace in you to come out of you, and not just for you, but to bless others. And so he says, I'm not going to wipe it all out. There's going to be some conflict. There's going to be some battle. There's going to be some resistance in this journey because I want you to increase. I want you to increase in your love life. I want you to increase in receiving and walking in the resurrection power and the victory that I've won for you. And so that in time, you can not just receive the victory, but you'll possess the land. You see, I'm going to just share this. I don't mean any harm on anybody. I'm just trying to help you. But we've seen people receive victory from the Lord, and a month or two later, they're not in victory. We've seen people, hey, I've been doing this 43 years. I've seen people walk in victory and then walk out of it. Okay? Now I want to tell you why. It wasn't because God failed. It wasn't because God got tired or God got weak. It wasn't because God changed his mind about abundant life, abundant living, the power source. It wasn't that God cut off his love, was it?
No.
Is that right here, between the ears, somebody turned off the valve somewhere? Well, it's not on God. It's not God's fault. It's right here. Turned the valve off and walked out of it. We didn't possess the land. We received victory, but we didn't walk in it. We didn't occupy. We didn't possess the land. And I want to tell you, when you possess the land, hey, the blessings of God encourages other people to follow and to pursue your example of not quitting. You don't know till you get to heaven how many people are going to look at your life and say, thank you for not quitting on God. You not quitting encouraged me not to quit. I saw you receive some fulfillment of the promise in the long term and encouraged me to continue to walk with Jesus. To walk in, to receive peace when the circumstances wasn't there. And so this is also why I'm telling you that little by little, we need to celebrate. I'm telling you, when another brother or sister experiences some even small measure of victory, it ought to be a lot of celebrating going on. Okay? Encourage one another. Bless one another. Cheer for one another. Pray for one another. Comfort one another. But we need to celebrate the little by little, because that's part of the process, and all the people said. Okay. He wants you to be strong in him. Here's the message. Renew our mind, because he's won the victory, and he wants to walk the victory out of our spirit into our soul and our body and into others. We're blessed to be a blessing. We walk in victory to be victorious. This is what we want for our life, for our church, for our families, and for people that we've never seen. The victory that you walk in is not just for you, it's for others. And when you walk in the victory that God has placed in you, you blaze the trail for them to walk in victory. Wow.